Welcome. Thank you for joining us and exploring the practical aspect of past lives, reincarnation, and this creative exploration of our soul's journey towards enlightenment. And you know, we talked about this last week. Reincarnation isn't about remembering your past lives and getting all excited about it, although it's interesting. What it's really about is moving you forward in the evolution of your soul. And you are an evolving soul. And I'm so grateful that you're participating in your soul's evolution. And let's participate together and blend our energies as we join together for the prescription for spiritual alignment. We are aligned with the center, with the presence of God within. We are protected by God's love, wisdom, knowledge, and grace. The God consciousness within helps us discover more about who we are. Thank you, God, for the gift of spiritual intuition. Thank you, God, for aligning our conscious, subconscious, and superconscious minds. As we take a deep breath, we move into this space of possibility together, in which we explore and discover how our exploration of past lives benefits us as evolving souls. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Well, here we are exploring how past life understanding can affect us in this life in a very practical way. Now, this isn't an opportunity for us to get all excited about all of the different stories that we can tell and all the tales we can spin about past lives. Although that's a part of it, and it's a very interesting part of it, the benefit of the study of reincarnation is that it accelerates our process, moving us forward towards enlightenment. It accelerates our spiritual journey together. Think about that. You can actually use your understanding of reincarnation to move you forward faster, with greater grace, with greater ease and less resistance. And so let's kind of play with that today and talk a little bit about how these past life experiences are impacting us in the here and now. Because that's really what it's about. The here and now is that place in our lives where we're growing. All we have is the now. The past is in the past and the future hasn't happened yet. And we can focus right here and now and use our understanding of reincarnation to grow our souls in a way that is accelerated and in the best interest of our soul for our highest good. So how have your past life experiences impacted you? You might have some conscious awareness of that, but just knowing that fact and knowing that these situations that just seem to happen to us actually came forth from karma that we accrued in past lives helps us not to take things as personally, not to blame or fall into guilt, but rather to understand. Because it's about the understanding of our whole self. Enlightenment isn't some, you know, somebody slapping you on the forehead and you see visions. Enlightenment is the unfoldment of the understanding of the whole self, getting to know your whole self. And isn't that exciting? The idea that you can get to know your whole self, and as you do, you awaken to who you are. And reincarnation is an important part of it, whether or not you consciously remember those lives. Remember that everyone that you know in this lifetime that's significant at any level, anyone that you've had any kind of interaction beyond just a passing interaction, is someone that you've known in a former life. Now, we in the Center for Enlightenment, all of us have worked together to look at these past lives, and many of us know how we've interacted with each other, how we've impacted each other, both positively and negatively. There have been times that we have felt distrust, like we couldn't fully trust that other person. And then we find out why. It's rooted in a past life experience. There are other times that we feel inferior or superior or have needs that we want to get met. And all of those things are based in past life memories. And by going into our heart space and doing our forgiveness work, we can erase that karma and have a clearer experience. We in the Center for Enlightenment work together in a much more harmonious way to the extent that we've been able to do this past life work. And we've often done it together with the other people and recognize that. I've had experiences where I would have a reaction to somebody and I would feel it was terribly unjust and I was right. And then I remember, wait a minute, this didn't come out of nothing and everything's about me. And so who was I when I made up my mind to resent this person? Or what is it in me that's pushing my buttons? And I might realize that the way I'm judging that they're acting, and they may or may not be acting that way, was the way I acted towards them in another lifetime. And I need to forgive myself. You know, ultimately, and Jane has shared this many times, the forgiveness work we do that erases our karma is forgiveness work that leads to forgiving ourselves. Even when other people are forgiven, and that's certainly an important part of the journey, it's always leading us to that place where forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors, where forgiving is really something that we end up doing for ourselves. By forgiving that other person, we open up the door to forgive ourselves. When Jane shared that experience where she had to forgive the person who had murdered her daughter, she realized that when she got through with that work, that she was forgiving herself for something that she did in a lifetime 1,000 years ago. Every piece of work that you do spiritually in this lifetime is leading towards your healing. Everything that you do in this lifetime is here to heal you. I once made a sign saying, this can only heal me. This can only bless me. No matter how much you might think or tell yourself the story that you've been victimized, all of it is coming from that place of a desire within your soul to be healed, to balance your karma, to move through the opportunities that will move you forward in your spiritual growth. Now, you probably remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the spiritual karmic ball. And this karmic ball has on it a lot of different rubber bands. Each one of them represents a past life memory, a karmic entanglement. And our experience in this lifetime of going through those experiences helps us to release these different memories that are lodged in the subconscious mind that we need to release, that we have to let go of. And every time we do our forgiveness work, whether we remember that lifetime or not, we're releasing part of that karmic ball and reducing the size of our ego nature and opening ourselves up to our souls. And we were talking about last week about doing some journaling, some free association journaling. That Jane's often talked about how if you want to know who you were in a past life or where you were in a past life, look at those cultures, those experiences, Civil War, Germany, Japan, the church, Buddhism, being a mother, any number of things, certain skills, piano, various other things. All of these things help us to have a clue as to what we were and who we were in a past life. And I suggested and challenged you to do as your homework, to do some free association writing and write down your feelings about these cultures, experiences, talents and abilities, relationships, these kinds of things, and how they make you feel, what you think about them, and just pictures that start popping into your mind. If you haven't already done this, I highly suggest that you do so, because you might be sitting there right now thinking, oh, I don't remember my past lives. This isn't for me. Well, you might find that although you may not remember a specific memory, you might get a very good indication as to where you've been and where you've come from. So this kind of free association, writing down about cultures and people, what you're drawn towards or what you have an aversion to. And that's a very important part of it too, because you will have some karma, one of these rubber bands on your karmic ball, that you're holding on to that shows up in this lifetime as an aversion to something. On Thursday night, we were talking and one of the people in the group shared that they'd had a lifetime in the Civil War. And they were at Gettysburg and the tour guide was telling them something that was really fairly innocuous, but they kind of erupted about the South and what they thought of it. And the tour guide said, well, I guess we can see which side you're on, which side you like. But it's because as his memories came up, he was on the side of the Union. And he also shared that he'd had a very strong reaction when he went to Arlington Cemetery, which is built on the estate of Robert E. Lee as a punishment after the Civil War. And he blurted out what he was feeling. And someone who knew Jane said, why don't you talk to Jane about this? This could be very helpful to you. And he did. And he found out more about this. And he and I both had gone by the same Civil War general statue in the same park in Orlando, Florida. And as we were walking, as he was walking along, his reaction was to spit on it, which was a shock. It was just involuntary. Again, why would somebody have such a strong reaction? When I saw that statue, because I have no Civil War memory at all, I just thought it was interesting. It wasn't anything that I had that kind of an emotional reaction. Now, you can look at somebody else's reaction about something in this lifetime and understand that the reason why they are acting the way they are, the reason why they feel the way they feel is rooted and based in something that's in a past life. And perhaps you've had an inexplicable reaction to something and you can look at yourself and look within yourself and say, what button is this pushing? Why do I feel this way? I've reacted very strongly, much like this other person has done and was telling us about, but I've reacted very strongly to certain political figures in recent history and when I see it on the news. And when I did my inner work, when I did my journal and I asked the question, where does this come from? What button is this pushing in me? I realized it was a lifetime when I was leading a Native American tribe and I was an autocrat. I was a brutal dictator and I had really brought the whole tribe down and I had a terrible, terrible ending to the whole thing. And I was holding resentment and guilt towards myself. And so as I went in and did the work that I needed to do, using the 7 steps for successful life transitions, which is found in your Spiritual Power Tools book, as I did that journaling work and did that meditation, I don't react as much. I still have the same political beliefs I have, but the reaction was really one of self-loathing and self-hatred and guilt. And once I released that, I didn't have to make this other person or these other people who had different beliefs than my own pay the price for it. And I was able to go through it with more of an understanding that they're doing their karma and I'm doing my karma. Doesn't justify everybody's behavior, but you don't react anymore from that place of just reacting, where you're just coming from some unconscious place that you have no control over and you have no volition or will involved with it. Many of us have had friends who've gotten involved in things and we've wondered, why would they get involved in it? Drug addiction or alcohol addiction. But you know, addictions go back thousands of years. Archaeologists are finding that in certain vessels or certain pottery or things like that, that they find in digs that go back 8,000 years, they are residues of drugs as well as alcohol. And so we've had many, many lifetimes in which we can develop an addiction which we then carry over into the next lifetime. So you can ask yourself, you know, I've known people who almost immediately became addicted as a teenager. And how could that be? Whereas somebody else, it doesn't happen so much. It has to do with the patterns of karma that they brought in with them in this lifetime. And that helps us to take a step back and understand so that we can support their souls and not see them as just acting out of weakness or not condemn or judge another person, but to understand that they're coming in with that karma and we've got our karma. You know, we've all got our stuff, whether it's materialism or whether it's alcohol addiction or it's gambling or it's sex addiction or it's codependency. We brought something in on our in our karmic ball, and the forgiveness work that we're doing, that we're talking about in this class, is crucial to the healing of the soul and the moving forward in our soul evolution. Isn't that freeing? Doesn't that make you feel like you have some understanding and you can get your arms around some of these issues and you can deal with some of these issues in a more creative and dynamic way? Jane had this experience when she was very little, but she didn't fully understand it until she was in her 30s. Her mother heard a knock on her door and opened it up, and it was a very angry neighbor who was the mother of a little girl down the street. And apparently, according to this mother, well-behaved Jane, who was a very, very good girl, had just pummeled this woman's daughter and even pulled some of her beautiful blonde curls out of her head. And this was so unlike Jane. And of course, her mother was aghast. And Jane did not understand her reaction, why she felt such a rage towards this little girl who hadn't done anything to her, until she had a past life memory when she was in her 30s, when she started having these experiences. And she saw herself with these curls, looking just like that girl. And the girl reminded her of herself, and she felt feelings of guilt and shame left over from that lifetime. And when she went in and did that forgiveness work, it was freeing for her. So these things tell us that something doesn't come out of nothing, that the beliefs that people have, you've wondered, I know that you look at the world around you and you say to yourself, why do these people believe that? That makes no sense at all. No one rational or sane could believe such a thing. They brought in certain karmic patterns that predispose them to those beliefs. As I shared before, I believe it was on Thursday, but it might have been last Sunday, I knew somebody who could remember that they died on a battlefield in World War II, only they were on the other side. And when they were young, they got involved in some very unsavory and extremist groups because they brought in that lifetime memory. And it really was a pattern that they had to deal with, to grapple with. So we can understand where people come from, religiously, politically, their behaviors, their aversions, and their attractions, as a result of the past life karma that they brought in, they carried in with them in this lifetime. Now, we're going to be talking about karma in about, 3 or 4 weeks, but reincarnation and karma are inextricably interwoven. You can't really talk about one without the other. Karma and reincarnation. Karma is done through the process of reincarnation, and reincarnation is the process of working through your karma. The real issue here, and the thing that gets us through all of this in a way of healing, is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the great karmic eraser. It erases those past life patterns and those false beliefs that we hold, the resentments, the guilt, blame, all of those feelings. And as we do the seven-step work, as we do our journaling work, we can let go of and unwind those karmic memories. When somebody pushes your buttons, That's just somebody giving you something to work on. I remember hearing Jane say that once. When somebody's pushing your buttons, they're just giving you something to work on. She said, I used to say to myself, this is giving me something to work on, and I know they're here for a reason. When I had somebody just a few weeks ago push my buttons, and I felt very much self-righteous, which is, of course, what the ego does to justify its feelings. I felt very much victimized, which is another tool the ego uses to perpetuate itself. Then I asked myself, because I have a little understanding of this, did I know this person in another lifetime? And I realized, yes, I did, that I'd had a past life memory with them. What was the consciousness I was in that lifetime? And in that lifetime, I was in the consciousness of a priest who was telling everybody else what to do, but not doing it himself. And so what I was doing was I was judging this person, and I was judging them based upon the consciousness that I'd had 500-600 years ago. It's almost like, and James talked about that, that when a past life memory comes over us, when we're responding, when our buttons get pushed based upon a past life memory, it's almost like that subpersonality, that part of us that that past life represents, is doing the thinking for us, is doing the speaking and the acting and the feeling for us. And when we realize that this happens, we can step back. And in that situation, I went in, I did my forgiveness work of myself and could let that other person off the hook. These are what we call Christmas presents. Jane talks about that. She says every day is Christmas because every day provides an opportunity, a present under the tree of my soul that once I, although it may seem like something that's pushing my buttons, once I open it up, I get a gift. I get a gift of healing, forgiveness. I get a gift of understanding, of opening my heart. And in every single case, it's really a sign of the love of my higher self or that whole self that I am. And Jane even said one time when she wasn't getting these kind of Christmas presents, or it didn't seem to be, she said in prayer, "Don't you love me? Where's my Christmas present?" Now, I know most of us aren't quite that far along on the path that we would actually ask for them. But the truth is that these karmic entanglements, and that's really what they are a call for healing through forgiveness. And the seven-step method, which is found in your spiritual power tools, is the best way I know to go in and do that healing work. Now, you don't have to remember the past life, and you don't have to have your arms around every aspect of it, but work with what you can remember, because it's all an energy, isn't it? Isn't it everything an energy and vibration? Isn't everything consciousness? And if you go in and you do the healing work of consciousness, well, then you are freeing up all that energy. And then you can use that energy in new and creative ways, in dynamic pursuits, in the best interest of your soul to move you forward on your journey. Sometimes when we unwind our karma, we find out we still have to go through that situation, but we are able to go through it with less resistance, and we move through it faster. It's not something we stay stuck in. In fact, many times when I have gone through karmic situations, it comes to me very clearly that I got off easy because I'm getting a lot of grace because I'm willing to do the forgiveness work, that I'm not having to slog through or deal with all of the karma involved, but much of it is being lifted for me. Again, the purpose of reincarnation is not to remember our past lives, but it's to lead our souls forward on our journey. And what's our journey towards? Enlightenment, the awakening of our consciousness in our whole self. And the understanding of reincarnation speeds up our soul evolution. How does it do that? Well, you can move through these things more quickly, and you don't have to get bogged down in them. You know, Jane calls that the sticky gluey of the karma of the soul. And when you do your forgiveness work, when you bring in the light through meditation every day, And then you do your journaling every day. You find that you move through these things with a little more, I guess you say, grace and ease. It lubricates this experience so you don't have to be stuck in these experiences. So what is this soul journey? It's a journey of balancing. And you've probably heard the term, balancing out your karma. And I've asked myself, well, what is it balancing out? What am I doing when I'm balancing out this karmic ball? Well, one of the things, of course, has to do with as you sow, so shall you reap, which is if you've done negative things, you experience negativity to release it and to balance it out. Or if you've done positive things, you experience the positive to again balance it out. But sometimes it has to do with aspects of our being. I came into this life having had many lifetimes as a male, because I'd had a lifetime back over 1,000 years ago where I was a female and had made the decision because of some experiences I had that I was never going to be a woman again. I was never going to open my heart again, and I was going to be a very willful and intellectual man. And so I went through many lifetimes like that. In this lifetime is my opportunity to open my heart and to balance what Jane has shared with me is my male aspect and my female aspect. And so we all are made up of a balancing act between the male and the female. And so you can ask yourself, you know, if I was going to incarnate again, would I be a man or would I be a woman? And why? Where have I come from on the journey? How am I balancing my soul in this lifetime? Another place where I've noticed that there's a balancing act has to do with the different expressions of my soul. Jane has shared, and it's in a lot of the spiritual literature that is out there, that we are either on the will or the love or the intelligence ray in this lifetime. And if we're too much in one, we balance and open up another one. Jane shared about a lifetime in which she was in Japan, and she was working as a healer, working with, I guess you call them medicines. They were, I guess, herbal type medicines many, many hundreds of years ago, but was unable to use all of their intelligence and all their skill to save the people of their town or village. And they made up their mind that they didn't trust their intelligence anymore. And so Jane came into this lifetime balancing out her highly developed love ray, highly developed will expression with her intelligence. And as you can see from the different teachings she has presented, that she's developed a highly intelligent understanding of things, but it took many decades for her to build that up. This again is about bringing us to the threshold of enlightenment. When we balance out our male and our female, our positive and our negative, our will, our love, and our intelligence, we are opening ourselves up to and bringing ourselves right up to the threshold of enlightenment, of the awakening of our soul. And we're working in the best interest of our soul. So ask yourself, where am I balancing in my life? What am I balancing? And ask yourself in this lifetime, am I opening my heart? Am I developing my mind? Am I strengthening my will? Ask yourself, where have I needed to, regardless of whether you're born as a male or a female, regardless of any of those things, where are you balancing out the energy and the vibration and the force of the male and female aspects? The best way to get to the bottom of all these things is to journal. And in your spiritual power tools, there's a chapter on journaling. And just by answering those 5 journaling questions, you can move a lot of that energy forward and discover some things that you never knew were there. And you can find out where you've needed to balance yourself on your journey of reincarnation. But also, if you can go even deeper with the 7-step method, which is also in this book, you'll find that you can really uncover some deeper and deeper traits and see where you're needing to balance out and forgive yourself. It's all about forgiveness, so that you don't have to slog through hard experience in life, so that you can go through these things from a greater position of understanding and a greater position of consciousness, accelerating your life's experience. Now, on Thursday night, someone asked the question about holding on to past karma. I had talked about that, about how in our lifetimes we have experiences and the karma is done. It's complete. When you graduate from high school, the karma with those people is complete. When someone passes on, or you end a relationship, or you move from one location to another, the karma is complete. But sometimes we hold on and we need to do the 7-step work or our journaling in order to let go of that past karma. And they asked on Thursday night, how can we know that we're holding on? And I found it's when I'm ruminating about something. I keep revisiting it or mulling it over in my mind. And that's the time that I've got to pull out my 7 steps and do some deeper work. And sometimes you have to revisit things in order to let them go. And it may come up more than once in your lifetime. I had an experience once in ministry that seemed very unfair. It was my second church, and I felt that I was a victim and I'd been treated unfairly. And although I understood intellectually that I had to forgive, I didn't really know what I was forgiving. It was only when I had a past life memory where I realized that the things that people were accusing me of in that situation, which were not true and it was very unjust, I'd actually done in another lifetime. And as I took that person that I was in a past life up the 7 steps, then I was able to let go of my experience, which I had held on to, and the resentment and the feelings. I would just keep ruminating over it. But once I realized that I was really forgiving myself, and even if I hadn't remembered the specifics of that lifetime on the border of France and Germany when I was a priest who did a lot of things and seemingly got away with it. And you know, we never really get away with anything. But that was a karmic piece that I brought over into this life. Even if I wasn't aware of it, I still would have been able to move through that by understanding that there was an aspect within myself that was being mirrored to me by those people that I needed to let go of. And now I don't feel any blame or any guilt, and it's a clean slate. That's the beauty of this work. We don't have to carry heavy burdens with us through our lifetime. We can lay down the burden. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Laying down those burdens so that we don't have to hold on to these things anymore. Wouldn't it feel great to just be lighter, to release these things that perhaps you feel that you've been carrying with you throughout this lifetime? Well, you can do it. You can do it with your journaling. You can do it with your forgiveness work and your 7-step work. This explains why 2 situations in your life, which look very similar, or 2 different people that look very similar, one really bugs you. It really pushes your buttons. But the other one, not so much. It's no big deal. The reason is because there's karma involved in the first one. And the second one, you know, I think about a friend of mine who used to just do all kinds of things, but it never bothered me. It's because there was really no unresolved karma between me and this other person. But other people could barely drop a pin and it would push my buttons. Again, that has to do with the karma involved. Many of us have had lifetimes in which we've been involved in political things or religious things, things having to do with our family. And perhaps we've wanted to have other people give to us the love that we want within our own soul. And the freeing aspect of this work is to realize that no one can ultimately give us anything. that once we forgive and we release, it's for us to nurture and to forgive and to take care of our own needs and to meet our own needs as a soul. Another thing we talked about last week was karmic switches and how Jane had an experience where she was in a wonderful romantic relationship with her ex-husband. And it was just fine because that was the karma from a lifetime where they had a romantic relationship. But the minute they got married, it switched. The karma switched to another lifetime where he was her father and had not taken care of her. And so it was his responsibility in this lifetime, which she probably resented somewhat on some level, to take care of her for 18 years of their marriage. And 18, of course, is the age of adulthood. And once they hit the 18th year, the whole marriage dissolved. And they went into a new karmic play. Jane calls these karmic plays. I'm in one karmic play, perhaps with, I'm thinking about my relationship with my mother. I was in a certain kind of karmic play with her until I was about 11. And it was mostly very positive. When I turned 11, it was almost like her personality switched and it became very, very difficult. It was another lifetime, another karmic play that was playing out. And so you can look at your own lifetime and your relationships and see that you've got these different karmic plays and there's a switch that'll happen between them. There'll be a time when you're in a job and the job is just wonderful. I was just talking to a friend of mine about this the other day. The job was just terrific. And then all of a sudden it was like somebody pulled a switch and it wasn't wonderful anymore. It's because she was in another karmic play and she had to do the forgiveness work and deal with that creatively. Everything that you are doing in this lifetime is an opportunity to work in the best interest of your soul. Jane was sharing on the video that is at the end of the second lesson of reincarnation on the self-study lessons on the website. She was sharing that free will is really the opportunity that reincarnation gives us to work in the best interest of our soul, because our soul, she says, your soul is trying to push you, trying to get you to take a step, trying to bring more conscious awareness to you. When you get quiet in meditation, you can feel that higher self, that soul of you, pushing through and trying to get you to listen, to see, to grow and forgive, to learn and to change and to be. And Jane said, if it's not properly taken care of, everything you're doing today will have to be pushed into your next lifetime. Don't you want to just get it over with now and not have to come back to experience this? And even if you do come back, you can come back to fulfill certain creative pursuits rather than just balance out your karma. Again, that's why a lot of people are involved in 12-step programs, overcoming their addictions and their behaviors, because they carried those things in with them and they don't want to push it on into their next lifetime. Because if you die still addicted, you'll be born into a body in the next life that will have that predisposition. Jane said, this is why I'm always talking to you about forgiveness, about balancing out your soul and working in the best interest of the other people in your life as well. So unless you forgive and until you complete your karma with that other person, you're going to just drag them into your next lifetime. And what we do, and I've experienced this in my own past life work, is we take turns in lifetimes. One person is more dominant, and then the next lifetime, the other person does it. And the next lifetime, it goes back and forth like a negative tennis match. We can complete it by forgiving in this lifetime, doing the inner work, and then it's off our plate. She said, those significant people that are there in your life are there for the purpose of waking you up in some way. Your family, the family you were born into, even though, as I heard somebody say recently, I didn't even feel like I was a part of that family. I had nothing in common with them. They still were there for the purpose of awakening you, waking you up to some aspect of your being, waking you up perhaps to your own independence and your own independent thinking. When my parents got involved with some things that were rather negative when I was a teenager in terms of their own beliefs, that was a great opportunity for me to learn how to think for myself. It's a way of waking up to certain aspects of our being. Jane shared that about her experience in terms of her marriage and how it was an opportunity. And when she realized that she was not the victim, that this was an opportunity for her to balance her soul, then she was able to awaken to new qualities within herself. She said, the more lifetimes that you've had with that person, the more your karma switches and changes and switches and changes. At first, it's a certain way, and then suddenly it changes, she says. And finally, you know it's done and it's over, and you can move on and it's good. And we do that through forgiveness. What we're really doing in our past life work is disconnecting ourselves from the karma of past lives and getting out of the tug of war with bosses and companies, with relationships and experiences that are rooted in past experiences. Now, I want to share Jane's teaching about uncovering the real self that's within each one of us. She asked the question, what is the ultimate goal of reincarnation? And she says, your spiritual journey does not consist of gaining material goods, but of uncovering the truth of your real self. And what is the truth? What is the truth of your real self? That you are a soul in evolution? That your higher self, your soul, is pushing through right now and moving you forward on your journey to enlightenment? Your soul is waking you up to all that you are. And this is the opportunity that you have in this lifetime. She asks, how is this accomplished? This uncovering the truth of your being. By continually desiring to know the truth of your real self. How do you generate that desire? Jane always says it starts with desire. Everything starts with desire. That's the impulse, the power that moves you forward. How do you do it? Well, you build that fire within yourself by deciding within yourself that more than anything else, you want to grow. More than anything else, you want to open your heart and love. More than anything else, you want to awaken to who and what you are inside. And then you back that up with a commitment, which shows up every day as you're taking your will and backing up that commitment with meditation every day, with journaling, with forgiving, with doing this spiritual work. And that says to the whole universe, and it says to your own higher self, to your soul, that you really mean business and you're going to get all the support and backup from the universe. Jane then asked the hypothetical question, why does it take so many incarnations to evolve? Why does it take so many incarnations for me to evolve? And the answer is, you need many incarnations and a variety of opportunities to come into the full awareness that you are an infinite being. One lifetime isn't enough to accomplish that goal. You need many lifetimes and a variety of opportunities. You need to be rich and poor. You need to be a man or a woman. You need to be a father, a mother, a son, a daughter. You need to go through all these experiences. You need to be a religious in one lifetime, and perhaps you were a courtesan in another one. And I know a lot of people who have had one lifetime on one side of the equation and then the other on the other. In order to wake up to your whole self and to get to know yourself. That's the journey of reincarnation. But once you get to know yourself sufficiently on this journey of evolution, you reach that point where you turn inward. And it's like you have a turnaround and you go on the journey of involution, which is getting to awaken to the wholeness of your being from within. She says, as your spiritual consciousness develops, you become more aware of your soul. And that is that journey of involution, of turning inward and finding out who you are inside, discovering what's in your subconscious mind and healing what you find there. She says, each incarnation increases your ability to know your true self that exists in God. Each incarnation builds upon the one before. And as you understand your past lives and you can see them laid out before you, perhaps in one lifetime, I made the decision that I was going to develop my intelligence, that that was my answer. And in my next lifetime, I was very intelligent, but I didn't have a very strong will. And so I developed my will in the next lifetime. And I find out I was just way too willful. I need to open my heart in the next lifetime. And with each of these successive experiences, you're building upon the karma of the last lifetime and balancing out your soul. And when you get sufficiently in balance, then it's time to turn within. And that's the journey you're on, the journey of awakening. She asks, what about past life memories? How can they contribute to my journey? And we've been talking about this, but this is her take on it. A very important part of your spiritual journey is to understand that you've had other lifetimes and that you have existed before. When I became aware of this for the first time in 1969, it was when I had my first past life experience. That was a shock. Now, she talked to us as a group about that. And she and her friend Shireen were meditating together. And they each, after their time of meditation, said to the other one, I got a message. And the other one said, I got a message. Well, let's write down our messages and we'll turn them over when we say 1, 2, 3. And they turned them over and they both got the same message. It was, the veil will be lifted. They had no idea what that meant, but it was the veil between their conscious mind and their subconscious mind, activated by their superconscious mind. And it was the veil between this lifetime's awareness and the awareness of past life memories. And sure enough, I believe it was Jane called Shireen, and I could have this wrong, but correct me, those of you who remember this, and said, you know, I'm really mad at you right now, and I want you to come over here. And I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. And as soon as Shireen came to the door, Jane was very angry and very stern, said, why did you leave me? Why did you leave me, mother? And neither one of them really understood what was going on at all. And as they did the work together, and they did even a forgiveness ceremony of washing of the feet, so that they could somehow get an understanding of it, the memory came flooding in that Shireen had given Jane as a little girl, by the way, it's a little girl with a blonde hair, it was the same lifetime, to a convent, and had left her there and abandoned her. And so that memory came up. And as they did that work, this was the first of many lifetimes that they had shared that they needed to clear up and work on together. She said, nobody had ever talked to me about past lives before. She was raised in the Methodist Church. Shireen knew about this, but because she was raised in the Unity Church, but Jane did not know about this. And so it was alien to her. It was completely almost like finding out about life on Mars or something. And so it was a shock to her system. I had no education in that subject, she wrote. Somehow, some way, my spiritual self started to understand that there was something happening to me at a deeper level than I had ever experienced before. That revelation made me realize for the very first time that I was a soul evolving. It was a wake-up call. And isn't this a wake-up call for your soul? To understand that you're not here to develop materialism. You're not here to develop fame or to be popular or to deal with things in terms of money or sex or fame or any of these outer things. That you're here as a soul evolving. That you're here as a wake-up call to your soul's involution, and the understanding of reincarnation is a big part of it. Well, next week, we're going to be talking more about reincarnation. And I want to invite you to come on Thursday night, where we're really getting into some of our past life understandings at 7 o'clock Eastern. You can join us for our question and answer support group. And the link is found in the chat room. But I want you to take some time this week to journal out how you're feeling about certain cultures and times in history and certain experiences in your life, and just kind of see what kind of clues might present themselves to you so that you can awaken to the wholeness of your being. And next week, we're going to talk about freeing ourselves from the process of reincarnation. Well, let's have a brief meditation in which we just open ourselves and build that desire as part of our desire for our soul's awareness to have some clues, to have some awarenesses, to have some Christmas presents and some gifts given to us that will open us up to our past life experiences in the healing journey of our souls. So now just close your eyes and open your heart. Just become aware. I am a soul in evolution. And my soul's journey has brought me to this place. Of course, my soul has experienced positive experiences and negative experiences. This has been part of the balancing of my soul. But even as I accept that I have been brought to this place by all my experiences, I open my heart and mind and my desire to find out more about my past lives, to find out more of the whole of my being. And as I take a few minutes in silence, just a few moments, to open up my desire, even to ask for a greater understanding of past life experiences. I just sit and I listen and I let go. I am grateful. I'm grateful that my soul has brought me to this place. And I am grateful that my desire, my enhanced desire to remember my past lives as is needed by my soul, no more, no less than I truly need. And I open myself to this possibility I know my desire is bringing me to a greater awareness, a greater support for my soul. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. And now what's going to come up for you will be those things that you need. I know I went for years without remembering my past lives. And I asked once in meditation, why don't I remember my past lives? And it was because it wasn't time, that I was working on things in this lifetime. And of course, I was still working in the best interest of my soul. So there are going to be experiences that will come up, and you'll have ahas, you'll have awarenesses that will open up for you this week. I know that about you. And so come on Thursday and share what those are, and certainly come next Sunday and join us. The Center for Enlightenment is supported by your donations, and that's found in the chat room. And so until we see each other again, I can hardly wait to find out what kind of Christmas presents you receive, what kind of understandings you've come to as you do your journaling and as you open your desire more widely in order to become aware of your whole self. So until next Thursday or next Sunday, bye for now.